and Thatcham, a love for Glendale, and we're excited to see you. So we are on the last session of our Frontline Sundays, which has been five sessions, looking at really at how we have impact for God and for the kingdom on our front lines in our day-to-day. The idea that we gather together on Sundays, but for 97% of the time, for the average person in the room, we are not gathered. We're out there doing the stuff. And how do we carry the light, and how do we advance God's kingdom where we are in life? So I opened up the series with something called All the Difference in the World, looking at how we as citizens of heaven are residents on earth, the idea of living as foreigners here, and the more that we grow in God, the more that we become like him, the more that we listen to him, the more that we have our minds set on the things of heaven, the more foreign our surroundings may well seem. But we need to have our feet on the ground and actually have impact in the world where we are. Andy spoke on wherever we are, looking at wherever we go, whoever we do life with, that's our front line, that's our place of impact. And they're the relationships that God has given us. We talk about mission, and the first thing you think of, oh, is Uganda, or, you know, I don't know, whoever, wherever in the world you might think of as being a place to go as a missionary. And we are on a mission wherever we go, because of the people that we are around, the people that we do life with, that's our mission field. Liz spoke on whatever we do, which is about glorifying God in our vocation, our work life. Mark last week spoke on whoever we are and really on unpacking our core identity as children of God and what it means to be children of God, and that being our core identity. And today we are on the last session, which is called Together We Grow. And there is a little video that we will watch maintenant, and then I will continue.
Gathered.
Welcomed.
Celebrated.
Restored.
Gathered together.
Encouraged.
Supported.
Loved.
Reminded who God is.
Hearts awed by His majesty.
Eyes seeing fresh.
The wonder of grace.
Thankful for his awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am.
And all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
So, together we grow, the vital importance of our gathering together. I'm going to read just a little paragraph out of something that LICC has written, just because I couldn't say it better myself. It says, if we are going to be fruitful when we are scattered on our front lines for the long term, then we need to be faithful in gathering together. To continue to have an impact, we need to stay strong and encouraged. We need one another. We, as red dots on the map, need to stay red in a sea of grey. Our scattered and gathered lives are irrevocably connected. We're going to have a little look at Hebrews chapter 10. Starting at verses 19 and going through to 25. And we're going to linger on those few verses for a few minutes and just have say a few things about it. Some things that... I've written some things down, and it's dependent on God helping me to say it in a way that inspires us and really gets us somewhere, and I'm pretty sure that will happen. Okay, so anyway, and if it doesn't, come again tonight, and hopefully it'll be better then. Right, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting in him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The passage opens up there, those verses opens up with this idea that speaking about this imagery of the most holy place, or you may know of that as the Holy of Holies, depending on your translation. And I want to just explain for a couple of minutes about that so that we get in our heads what it means when we gather together and when we approach God in worship. So under the Old Covenant, there was a tabernacle and later the temple, and in that, there was an outer court, then there was an inner court where people would come and they would wash and they would then do animal sacrifices to atone for their sin. And then the priests would go into the holy place where there was the table of showbread and there was the candlesticks and various other things that helped them to approach God in worship. And then in there was a very thick curtain, and through the curtain was what was called the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that was where the glorious presence of God resided and was manifest. Now, the high priest was able to go in to the Holy of Holies once a year. And the preparation that went into that so that he didn't have any unrepented, unatoned for sin was really important. It's not recorded in the Bible, but legend has it that high priests would have a rope tied around their ankle. You say, why would he have a rope tied around his ankle? Because if he went into the Holy of Holies bearing sin that had not been atoned for through animal sacrifice, he would be struck dead on the spot. And it was looked down upon to have a rotting priest in the Holy of Holies. So they'd drag him out with a rope. That is how holy and how awesome God is. And yet the writer of the Hebrews is saying, we have had our guilty consciences sprinkled with Christ's blood, and our bodies have been washed with pure water, which means that we have the right, we have the capacity, we have the ability, we have the invitation to go right into the holiest place and encounter God in worship. And then goes on to say, so don't neglect gathering together. Don't get into the habit of not being together. Motivate each other, encourage one another, inspire one another, give each other a bit of a jig if they need it, and gather together so that you encounter God's presence together, so that you are empowered, so that you become hot, that you become bright, so that as you go out you shine and you glow and you carry God's presence and God's light and God's inspiration and God's truth into your week. Now, this is where we're going to do a little bit of meander, and I hope I'm going to throw a few thoughts out, and I hope then, well, we will land in a sense of making a great deal of sense, okay? I feel fairly sure of that. I want to just throw out some questions or some, maybe some tensions in relation to the gathering together. I want us to think for a minute about discipline and appetite, sacrifice and encounter. See, the writer there is talking about making sure you have a pattern of gathering together. Make it a discipline in your life. Don't get into the habit of not gathering together. But the writer's also talking about encounter and going right into the Holy of Holies, meeting with God. So yeah, it needs to be something that we make a discipline, yet something that we need to basically kick ourselves into action and make sure that we do it. But actually, it needs to be a place of encounter. It needs to be a place of inspiration. It needs to be a place that is life-giving and that is so life-giving that we desperately, desperately want to be there. So sacrifice, setting the alarm when you don't really want to, and encounter. Like, maybe we could say chicken and egg. What comes first? We could ask the question. This is a hypothetical question, obviously, because but if church was boring ever, right, is church boring because people don't come? I know people do come, so this is all hypothetical, but just throwing out some questions. Is church boring because people don't come, or is church hard work, a bit dry, a bit hard going because people don't come? Or do people not come because church is boring, or because church is hard work, or because church is tough going? Interesting question, isn't it? Because the reality in life is, and I'm only young, as you know, but still, 45 years is enough time for me to figure out that actually people will do the things that they want to do in life. They will. I know everybody's busy. We've all got stuff going on. A lot of people got family lives and charging all over the place with kids and teenagers and whatever else. But we will do the things that we want to do. We will do the things that we value. We will do the things that we consider to be important. And we will do the things that are life-giving. So how do we get to a place where our gathering together is absolutely, mind-bogglingly life-giving? Some of the words I threw out around appetite and encounter, equally important is discipline and sacrifice. I've led, just to throw an example out, I've led worship jangling away on my guitar in the best way I know how. And I've been in those situations where the whole room has been absolutely alive. Like looking around, arms in the air, flag waving. There seems to be a thing about flag waving at Wash Common at the moment. It seems to be kicking off. I don't know what that's all about, but that's all fine. People are going for it in worship, and that's good. And arms in the air, people shouting, woohoo, and all this, you know, like really going for it in worship. And I've led worship where there have been people sat with their arms folded, scrolling through their phone, chewing gum, chatting amongst themselves, and it felt like dragging a hippo up a hill. The thing is, it's about what everybody brings. Our encountering God in worship, our entering into the most holy place, our gatherings together being an inspiration and being life-giving and being a place that causes an ignition and causes us to go out really full of God, has got a lot less to do with the person here and a lot more to do with everyone in the room than you might think. It's hardly at all about, because you know, that example I gave, it's the same guitar, same voice, same person, possibly even some of the same songs. And sometimes you have ignition and sometimes you don't. And I think it's about getting our theology right about what church is. And getting our heads around why we do it. Why it's important to gather, why it's important to encounter God together, why it's important to encourage one another. So a few verses that will help us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and starting at verse 4. I read this last night to the street pastors and we had a lovely time actually. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but was chosen by God for great honor. Listen to this. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer special sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you trust in him. You recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble and fall because they don't obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. We've been taking some time to chat and pray and think about our worship together and our times together, what it looks like. And actually from next week, we're embarking on a series that's going to be, which we think we're calling Ecclesia, just to give it a bit of a twist. Not a twist, a bit of an interesting name. But about how our times together when we are gathered, if that's 3%, of our lives, we're gathered together. How do we make sure that that time burns hot? How do we make sure that those times are times of encounter? And how do we get ourselves to a position where you would rather give your right arm than miss being together with God's people? What does that look like? And so, as we think about that, and we'll be doing, it's going to be several weeks we'll be looking at it. We'll be looking at our worship and our times that we do corporate worship and what that looks like, how we make space for people to use and practice their spiritual gifts and bring their own offering of worship to God, and much more involvement from everyone in the room. And how do we go into the Holy of Holies, really? And so as we think about that, and just to kind of summarise my comments around appetite and encounter and sacrifice and discipline, I think we as a leadership, we want to commit to creating an environment where we are enabled to go right into the most holy place, a place of encounter, a place where we preach truth and of love and acceptance and care, where we make space for the Holy Spirit to have his way, to make room for the use of spiritual gifts and for us all to encounter God together. That's really important, and there will be some changes in the way that we do things that will enable more and more and more of that to happen. That's the leadership team's commitment, but we all need to commit to coming ready to worship, committing to gathering together as a priority in our lives, coming like Paul encourages the Ephesians, coming with a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, bringing a sacrifice of praise and a determination to serve each other with joy and generosity. Recognizing I'm a living stone. I'm not a customer. I'm not an observer. I'm not someone who needs to be tickled behind the ears, you know, entertained on a Sunday morning. I am a living stone, and I need to be with God's people, and God's people need me to be with them. Everyone in the room has something to bring. Everyone in the room has something that they can offer in the house of God. And it's really about making a choice to do what God says is good for us. And I know that there's balance in that. And I'm not talking legalism. This is God inspiring. This is God encouraging us to be together. You know, some days you just need a day at the beach. Some days you just need to have a lie-in or go to a forest, you know. But don't get out of the habit of being with God's people. As many of you know, I spent a little bit of time living in Monaco. And if you've ever been there, it's built like this. So a typical building, you'd go in at the front of the building on, you know, level zero. And if you wanted to go out the back of the building, you would probably go up to floor either 6, 7, or 8, and you would go out the back on floor 7. So the distance of 2 apartments, you've gone up 7 floors. So that's how steep Monaco is. So every day, I didn't have a car, walked everywhere or got the bus. So every day I was going up and down hundreds of steps. There's a staircase that goes up into Beausoleil that's just under 300 steps. One staircase going up 300 steps. It's just amazing. So it's all the time, up and down, up and down, up and down. And we had a team come to visit from Gateway Church in Dallas, in Texas. And so I was showing them around. And then I said, we've got two options. You can go with Dave up to the Plaster, where the palace is. Or I can take you up to a place called La Turbie. Which is, if there's a huge mountain behind Monaco with this knobbly rock thing, and the village on the top is called La Turbie. And I had done from the gare, from the train station, up to La Turbie in 45 minutes. And it just hadn't occurred to me that I can go from the gare to La Turbie in 45 minutes, because I can literally run up 300 steps without thinking, like, because that was just what I was doing every day. So we got this team together, and 3.5 hours later, we made it to La Turbie. And obviously, nearly ended up having to call emergency services on a number of occasions because they were just on the floor. And if I went back now, I would easily take me 2 hours to get up to the top, because I'm just out of practice. just out of something I was doing all the time, muscles I was using regularly, I'm just not using, and I'm just not able to do that. And having habits, having good habits in place, and practicing things regularly is really important. I can remember being, this is probably about last time I went to Uganda, when was that, 2018? And we were doing a prophetic activation, it's called, so like a session with all these pastors, getting them sort of motivated in prophecy. So we'd done a training thing, and then we went into the moment where we just started prophesying over each other. So just to demonstrate, Steve, just prophesy over this person here. And it was like, now, for years and years and years, like that, I would have just, it'd have been straight away. I was literally, the next prophetic word was constantly on the tip of my tongue. And I'd been so out of practice of using that spiritual gift, I stood there and was like, ooh, this is a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Oh, I see a picture of a flower and God says that he loves you, you know. I just, there was nothing there. And so as we use our spiritual gifts, as we practice our faith, as we engage in worship, as we grow together, as we have those good habits in place and we commit to it, we grow, we become stronger, and it's good for us. One final illustration. I have a personal rule that if there's an opportunity to go in the sea, I go in the sea. So on Boxing Day, we went down to Bournemouth, and I went in the sea. And why do I always go in the sea? Yeah, because I'm mad. That's somebody, Emma, just throw something at him, would you? I always go in the sea because of this. In 45 years, in all the times I've ever been in the sea, however cold or however much of a, I've got to get these lovely warm clothes off and go for it. And it's like, oh, do I do it? Countdown, go, go, go. And you jump in. Of all the times I've jumped in the sea, I've never, ever, ever, ever regretted going in the sea. And I have had experiences where I've regretted not going in the sea. So for me, it's a carte blanche rule. If there's an opportunity to go in the sea, I go in the sea. It's as simple as that. Because experience has proven to me that it's the right thing to do. Now, I will say, it's not a perfect illustration. Because there have been times when I've gone to church and I wish I hadn't. Oh, that's terrible. But it's true. Let's be honest. I've been to church and I think, gosh, that was hard going today. But those bad examples aside, the general principle and the overwhelming principle is when we go to be with God's people, we come away encouraged, inspired, built up, lifted up, we feel closer to God, we feel set up for the week. It's a no-brainer, actually. Like jumping in the sea, I don't even really have to make the decision anymore, because the decision's already made, because it's the right thing to do. God hasn't said it, and that's the church bit. I know that I'm going to feel better having done it. But engaging with God's people, it is something that God encourages us, instructs us to do, and we will be better off for it. So why do we come, and what do we bring? Our worship, our service, our sacrifice of praise, and sometimes it is a sacrifice of praise. It may not be your music style that day, or it may be that you didn't have much sleep, or it may be that you feel in a bad mood, or you had a difficult week, or a tiring week. It may be a sacrifice of praise, but what do we get? We get a reminder of our God-given identity. We get to find where we fit into the body. We get encouraged and built up. We encounter God together in worship. We exercise our spiritual gifts. And if you've not done that, get ready, because you will. We inspire each other to grow and move forward in God. It's the day of Pentecost, so let's just go to Acts 2. And towards the end of the chapter, verses 42 to 47. Some churches actually use this as their plan. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Doesn't that sound amazing? Let's be done with lukewarm, mediocre church. Let's just be done with it. We are living stones that God is building together and sending out, commissioning us to build his kingdom, to shine his light, to bring hope. And what God wants us to be doing that from a place of being filled with him, a place of encounter, a place of cleansing, a place of that sprinkling of his blood, that washing of pure water, that place where we've been in the Holy of Holies and we carry his beauty out into the world. So God, we just offer ourselves to you. We thank you over this series. You've really challenged us about our going out. I thank you for every place that you have us, Lord. Every workplace, every office environment, every community group, every doctor's surgery, every carer who comes into someone's home and is a mission field, every parent of every child, Lord, every nursery and every place of education, every university, every business. Lord, you've positioned us to be your light and to be hope. And we thank you for that, but we thank you for the 3% of our time that we get to be together. We pray, Lord, that as your people, as Glendale Church, we would burn hot. Lord, we would commit to each other and we would commit to coming together ready to worship, ready to bring a sacrifice of praise, ready to step up and be those living stones that you are building into your spiritual temple. As we have in quite a few of the sessions, there's been a bit of a practical thing to do, and we're going to do one of those now. So there's a few things that you can do actually while we do this. We will move around the room a little bit. So we lost the pins. So the hope was, this was only the people who were here on the first Sunday. And there are, because not everybody's here every week, we there are many more pins to go into this board. So if you haven't put your pin in the board, which is a place that represents where God has you, when we're scattered. So it may be your home, or it may be where you work, or it may be where you go to, you have a particular sense of mission, then please stick your pin into the map there. If you're off the edge of the map, like we've got quite a spread out to the east, if you're off the edge of the map, just stick it in the edge of the map. So we've got like Cheveley stuff here and Bradfield and Aldermaston and all of that stuff out this way. So feel free to use that. And then there's some of the other giveaways, the little red dot coasters to remind you of the fact that we are God's people sent out into the world. There's pencils. But what we've got today is the giveaway, which I think is quite cool, actually. If I can get the bag open. And Andy, and maybe the bag is just going to get ripped. Grab a key and or a pair of scissors and cut the top off. We've been talking about the fact that we're living stones. And in the little giveaway pack today, these are real rubies that were dug from... They were dug up from just under the temple in Jerusalem. No. These are manufactured little plastic things. But it's just... every week we've had these little reminders that we can take away. And it may be something that you can stick in your pocket. Don't keep it there and ruin the washing machine. Or leave it round for a one-year-old to swallow. But just a reminder, I'm a living stone that God is building into his spiritual temple. And so we're going to worship. But what I'd love for us to do, if you all want to come and get one of those, but then stick around for a couple of minutes, and we'd love to pray for everyone in a sense of commissioning you for your front line, commissioning you that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus in Acts, he says, you know, wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't go out and try and do this thing in your own strength. Wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So we'd just love to be a few of us up here who can do that. We can give you your little stone. But as we do that, we'd love just to pray for you that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit. So Andy and Sue's are going to lead us in some worship. We'll probably just clear that front row so there's a little bit more space. And then come and linger. We'll pray with each other. And maybe if when you just pray with each other as well, that's cool. And we're really praying, Lord, fill this person with your Holy Spirit. Lord, more of you and less of us. Lord, increase what you're doing in our lives. We pray for opportunity to open up in our mission field. We pray for a sense of encouragement. We pray for encounter. We pray, Lord, that you will grow in us as we commit to following you. So we'll do that. Just move around the room. Come and get your little pebble thing. There's me, there's Owen, there's Rachel. Paula's around. Daniela, I don't know if you want to come and pray with people. That's cool. And we will pray. Yep.
So before we open up, I just want to invite Helen forward, who's just going to come and tell us a little bit more about her front line. That's okay, and then we can...
Okay. Hi, I'm Helen. Most of you sort of met me by now. Some of you know my situation, some don't, but I just wanted to share. I was married to Chris for 40 years. He was a haemophiliac. He was infected with HIV and hepatitis C, and it had a massive impact on those 40 years, which I won't go into because I could be here all day. Unfortunately, he died in October, but the reason today I wanted specifically to pray for people like him and us in this situation is because we gave evidence, both of us, to the blood inquiry, and it's being published tomorrow. And it's been a 40-year fight, apart from having to live with the impact of those diseases and stigmas and goodness knows what else. So for everybody who is infected in that way, who's going to get these results tomorrow, just may God be in it all. And God's been with me through the 40 years, for sure. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I think that was really important to hear for her, because that just indicates the different types of front lines that we all go into. It might be a practical sense that, you know, where we go to work, where we go to school, it might be, but actually, whatever our family experiences come up, or whatever might be going on medically, or whatever it might be, that is something that we need to just be really soulful for in terms of, you know, ensuring that we're entering that in the way that God wants us to do. So I think, as Steve has already instructed, if we come up and collect our red stones, there'll be people to pray. I think, you know, Joe, do you want to come up as well, following, you know, what we said as well? So people can pray as we disappear back to our seats. If you feel called or want someone more familiar to pray with you who sat next to you, then that's absolutely fine as well. You know, you don't have to come to the front to be prayed for, because God's going to meet you in your prayers wherever you are. So we're just going to that time.